Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LIC's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have senior management of LIC led by Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, Chairperson on this call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mohanty.
Good morning, everyone. I am Siddharth Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. I would like to welcome all of you to the first quarterly results call of the financial year 2023-24. As you are aware, we declared our results last evening, and we have also uploaded the investor presentation on our website as well as the websites of both the exchanges, BSE and NSE. Trust all of you had an opportunity to go through the same. Along with me, I have four managing directors: Ms. Mini Ai, Mr. M. Jagannath, Mr. Tablesh Pandey, and Mr. Satpal Bhanu. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, appointed actuary and executive director, and Mr. K.R. Ashok, executive director from the actuarial team, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO from the finance team, Mr. Ratnakar Patnaik, executive director, investment front office and CIO, and Mr. K. Seshagiridhar, executive director, investment back office from the investment team, Mr. R. Sudhakar, executive director, marketing and CMO, Mrs. Manju Bagga, executive director, pension and group schemes, Mrs. Rachna Khare, executive director, CRM, policy servicing, and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, head investor relations. Before we get into the Q&A session, let me take a few minutes to explain the key highlights of our performance for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Premium income: for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, we have reported a total premium income of INR 98,363 crore as compared to total premium income of INR 98,352 crore for the quarter ending June 30th, 2022. The individual new business premium income for quarter ended June 30th, 2023, is INR 10,462 crore, and for the corresponding quarter of last year, it was INR 10,938 crore. Renewal premium income, individual business, for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, is INR 52,311 crore as compared to INR 49,069 crore for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. The group business total premium income for quarter ended June 30th, 2023, is INR 35,590 crore, comprising new business premium of INR 34,398 crore. In comparison, for quarter ended June 30th, 2022, last year, group business total premium income was INR 38,345 crore and comprised new business premium of INR 37,284 crore. Our market share by first year premium income for quarter ending June 30th, 2023, is 61.42% as per IRDAI, and we continue to be market leader in all life insurance space in India. For quarter ended June 30th, 2023, we have a market share of 40.84% in individual business and 72.5% in the group business. Therefore, we continue to be market leader both in individual as well as group segment. Seen on APE basis, the breakup of the business is as follows: total annualized premium equivalent, APE, for quarter ended June 30th, 2023, is INR 9,532 crore, which is comprised of individual AP of INR 5,950 crore and group AP of INR 3,582 crore. Therefore, on AP basis, the individual business accounts for 62.482% and group business accounts for 37.58%. Further, of the individual AP, the PAR business accounts for INR 5,342 crore and non-PAR amounts to INR 608 crore. As you can see, our non-PAR share of individual AP is 10.22% and PAR is 89.78% for quarter ended June 30th, 2023. You will recall that our non-PAR share for similar period last year, that is quarter ended June 30th, 2022, on AP basis, within the overall individual business was 7.75%. And the AP was INR 500 crore. Therefore, with an AP increase in a non-PAR of 21.6%, we have crossed the double-digit percentage mark in the mix of non-PAR product within our individual business. Also, I can say that we are confident of moving ahead on this trajectory. Profit after tax. The profit after tax for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023 was 9,543.71 crore, which comprises an amount of 7,491.53 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretion on the available solvency margin transferred from non-PAR fund to shareholders' account. For the quarter ended June 30th, 2022, PAT was 682.88 crore, in which an amount of 4,148.77 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretion on the ASM was not included, as this amount was transferred from non-PAR fund to shareholders' account on September 30th, 2022. Therefore, the comparable profit figure for quarter ended 30th June 2022 is 4,831.65 crore net of tax. VNB and VNB margins. Net VNB is INR 1,302 crore and net VNB margin is 13.7% for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, as compared to INR 1,397 crore and 13.6% respectively for the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. Asset under management. AUM as on June 30th, 2023 was 46,11,066.52 crore, as compared to INR 41,2,041.84 crore as on June 30th, 2022. Therefore, our AUM has shown a growth of 12.41% on year-on-year basis. Product mix and new product launches. Now I would like to inform about new product launches. In line with our strategy of increasing the proportion of the non-PAR business, we launched two new non-PAR products during the April-June quarter, namely LIC's Dhanvriddhi and LIC's Group Post-Retirement Medical Benefit Plan. We also modified the cancer cover plan amongst our health portfolio. Number of policies and agency workforce. During the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, we sold 32.16 lakhs new policies as compared to 36.82 lakhs new policies in quarter ended June 30th, 2022, a year ago. As on June 30th, 2023, the total number of agents was 13,43,540. As compared to 13,32,782 as on June 30th, 2022. Market share by number of agents as on June 30th, 2023 stands at 50.94% as against 54.37% for June 30th, 2022. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 31.20 lakh policies during the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. Therefore, 97% of our policies in the quarter ended June 30th, 2023 were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, a little above 96% NBP came from our agency channel in the first quarter of current financial year. Contribution by banca and alternate channels. During the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, other channels, B&AC, banca and alternate channels, contributed to 1.96% by number of policies and 3.22% by new business premium. For the quarter ended June 30th, 2022, the banca and alternate channels contributed to 1.32% by number of policies and 2.66% by NV premium. This year, in the first quarter ending June 30th, 2023, we collected NB premium of INR 336.36 crore via this channel as against INR 290.46 crore in a comparable 3 months period last year. Therefore, as you can see, we grew by 15.8% on year basis in B&AC channel when measured by new business premium. Further, we sold 62,970 policies and we grew by 29.69% in B&AC channel in this quarter as compared to similar period for last year. Just like we are changing our product mix as explained earlier, our commitment to change our channel mix is intact and on track, as these numbers will tell you. Our overall expense ratio for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, our overall expense ratio has improved significantly to 12.85% as compared to 14.59% for the first quarter of last year. Persistency. On premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2023 stands at 78.37%, 72.11%, 70.75%, 64.54% and 62.73% respectively as compared to 77.85%, 74.37%, 67.76%, 64.91% and 62.43% respectively up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. On number of policies basis, persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2023 stands at 66.15%, 59.28%, 57.72%, 52.04% and 50.79% as compared to 65.96%, 61.79%, 55.25%, 52.99% and 51.23% respectively up to the quarter ended June 30th, 2022. Therefore, there is an overall improvement in many cohorts of the persistency on premium basis as explained above. As a key part of our focus area and strategy, we are committed to improve persistency both on premium and on number of policies basis. Operational efficiency and digital progress. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 2,22,167 policies through this app during the quarter ended June 30th, 2023 as compared to 50,931 policies for the period ending June 30th, 2022, thereby registering a growth of 436.21% on year-on-year basis. After the product mix improvement and persistency improvement, this aspect of Ananda growth is the third highlight of our results, that is the persistent focus on technology integration and adoption across our organization, including our agency force and the digital push underway. Claims. On the claims front, during the quarter ended June 30th, 2023, we have processed 38,65,229 number of claims, which includes 36,77,149 maturity claims. On an amount basis, during first quarter ended June 30th, 2023, the total maturity claims were INR 34,612 crore and the total death claim were INR 5,147 crores. On a comparable basis for the first quarter of last year ended June 30, 2022, the maturity claims were INR 31,181 crore and the death claims were 5,743 crore. Therefore, the death claims are lower by 10.38% and the maturity claims are higher by 11% on a year-on-year basis. With this, I come to end of our detailed business parameters description for the quarter ended June 30th, 2023. As you can see, we continue to move ahead of product mix, channel mix, persistency, technology adoption and enhanced profitability. Before I hand over to the moderator, I would like to thank our shareholders, policyholders, agents and employees for their faith and trust in us. I now request the moderator of this call to open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We will take the first question from the line of Sanket Godha from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on margins. So if I look at the individual business margin, it has compressed meaningfully from 15.8 in 1QFY23 to 13.5. Actually, the compression was visible in both individual PAR and non-PAR business. Actually, most surprising part was on PAR when the profit sharing is going up in the current year compared to what it was last year. The margin compression by almost 90 bits seems to be on the higher side. Just wanted to understand that part a little better. And in non-PAR, the margins which is come off by 30-odd percentage, is this the new normal, that 43 kind of a number is the new normal given you have reset the IRRs on the products? This is the new normal or we expect a further compression in the non-PAR business? And lastly, on group business, I just wanted to understand that the 10% margin going to 13.9, is it largely the function of mixed change that your fund-based business contribution has come down and annuity has gone up and that led to the margin expansion in the group business? So that's my first question, sir.
Okay, I think appointed.
Good morning, Sanket. As far as the comparing VNB margins, possibly it would be fair to compare it to start with, you know, quarter to quarter things, because the business keeps on changing as we progress during the year. The profile of the first quarter business is not same as profile as we go towards the end of the year. We have seen it in the past also. Though it's comparable with the March, but it's not directly comparable to compare. So in our case, there are certain points which are right. Yes, as you rightly mentioned, in the group business, the higher component of annuity has contributed actually favorably to that portion of business. Along with that, also better experience, as we explained in our previous calls, also in terms of persistency of that business. And profile and mix of that business. So as far as new normal you are talking about, that's a fact that the surplus distribution in PAR is progressing towards higher, but it will remain same as it was in the last year. But largely, we would see that the business mix which has been the conscious strategy of the LIC, moving towards non-par business in a gradual manner, has really improved the contribution. Actually, that's the largest contributor in a way to the margin. But yes, in a competitive market, there is a requirement to reset the benefits to make them competitive. That brings down the VNB margins. Now, having ensured competitiveness of the product, which is though not a permanent, it's a continuous dynamic activity, the growth to come forward in the coming quarters would we expect it to ensure, and the ticket size as we go forward would ensure better outcomes in terms of VNB margins.
Got it, sir. So basically, when we report quarterly margins, the cost assumptions what we take is based on last year, or we take it mark to market, means whatever experience we have in the current quarter, we take that as a cost assumption. As the cost will improve coming quarters with growth and seasonality, margins are bound to improve, sir, because of that simple factor.
Yeah. When we are considering the VNB margins, they would definitely factor in the developing assumptions. They can be on the better side, they can be on the worse side. As the experience develops, the assumptions also have to be fine-tuned according to that thing. But as we show the walks towards movement from this period to period, it can be whether if it is in reference to previous quarter or previous quarter of the last year, then that analysis movement shows the impact of those factors which have come into it.
Got it. So is it fair to assume, sir, that by end of the year, maybe in FY24, end of the FY24, you will be similar or better than what you have reported of 16.2 last year, sir?
See, that will always be the goal and purpose and objective, as we have clearly made that word in our calls, that we are looking for an upward trajectory in a very speedy manner. But it also depends upon various factors. For example, one of the significant impact, not across this LIC, but possibly across other entities also, has been the change in interest rates. So
right.
When the risk-free rates change, that has got a significant impact, and the impact on plus and minus, or mean up and down on interest rate, is not in the similar way, depending on the business profile of different insurers. Possibly the significance of downside is higher, and we have seen that thing. So that would also be impacting, how the interest rates go forward from here. But definitely, with the business mix and the strategic decision to ensure a robust growth or reasonable growth in the par business and robust growth in the non-par business, we definitely expect these margins to remain on the upward trajectory.
Got it, sir. Sir, the second question is on group business. If I look at July monthly numbers also, you seems to have reduced or there is a sharp decline in the group business. So is the management has taken a conscious call that the fund-based business, which is not margin accretive, you don't want to chase it aggressively, or is it because of the competitive dynamics you are losing out in the group business? Just wanted to understand that part a little better, given it is visible in the quarter number also and in July monthly numbers which get disclosed at IRDLL.
So actually, we will concentrate on group business, and the group business also last year gave good margin. It is not that the group does not give margin. Last year also, we have experienced a good margin from group business. What in the current year, actually some receivables, they are deferred, because the people take a decision depending upon various factors, interest rate, all those things. So receivables, employers and all those, they have deferred, and we expect in coming quarters, all those business will definitely come. And we will definitely continue to retain market share, rather grow market share in group business.
Got it, sir. And sir, the next question is on term insurance, because non-par has been a focus area. You view your mix of non-par broken down into ULIP, non-par, in NBP terms, not in EP terms. There, if I do the simple math, your term insurance business has declined year on year. While if you look at all the private players which have come out with the numbers, they have reported a sharp growth in the protection business or individual term business. So just wanted to understand why we have not able to grow that piece while the sector, other players in the sector are managing to grow it.
Yeah, that's a fair question, but we are really conscious about that area, as and we can see that is a strong area for, you know, which will bring about growth. In fact, recently we have launched a very, very competitive and very, you know, on the market demand basis, recent product in this segment, which is a ROP, TROP, you know, return of premium risk of clientelizes UN current policy has been launched recently. We expect a lot of uptake. A lot of focus is on the direct marketing channel because the large portion of LIC business is coming through conventional channel, also to give fillip. We realize and we are really making all efforts in this direction, one through enriching the product basket here and bringing about the focus into this area. In fact, one impact could be that, you know, we had repriced our term rates in the last year, so that had a little impact on the sales. But things having settled down, now we are expecting that, you know, this particular segment of business will also drive not only business growth, but also the profitability growth from here onwards.
Got it, sir. So last one on data keeping, if you can share. You give your NBP breakup into ULIP, PAR, non-PAR, everything. But you don't give it on EP basis. It will be great if you can share the information also on EP basis, what your premium mix looks.
Yeah, we'll share it at a due point of time. We'll also share that. Right now, we have called out the information on the, at this level.
Okay, sir. Perfect. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. A few questions.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mrs. Singh, your voice is overlapping as there is a lot of disturbance in your background. Can you please go to a quieter place and talk?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah. So the first question is on, you know, this your segmental surplus generation. If I see that in your disclosure, the PAR segment, that typically again is a slow growth and relatively mature, yet the segment surplus is in deficit. So if you can help us understand what is happening at the segmental level, I mean, because for a large company like you where growth is also moderate and a large backlog, one would expect the segmental surplus to be generally positive in PAR, but here I see negative. So that's my question number one. Question number two is that, you know, because of your accounting change regarding, you know, the investment surplus on available solvency margin in the non-PAR fund transfer to shareholders fund, the profit, of course, has increased a lot and it's close to 9,500 crore for this quarter. And then you have paid out dividend. So still, you know, the solvency accrual, if I see, or solvency increase, it's roughly around 3,000 odd crores if I do a rough math. So if you can just help out understand, because why I'm asking this, because this will give us some idea around the ability to pay dividend. Because I mean, if solvency is not sort of increasing the same way your profitability is emerging, then of course the ability to pay dividend will be limited. So that's the question too, and I have one follow-up that I have.
Yeah, I trust you are asking in this reference to financials or profitability aspect of participating business. You talked about deficits. You are talking to, I guess you are talking about in reference to financial accounts only, right?
Yes. The segmental, the filing, that exchange filing, yeah.
Let me then clarify on that point of time. Even if some deficit is actually not a deficit, the fund would have been in surplus. We have consciously taken some strategic decisions. For example, to provide for, we have some fund for future appropriation, which was in our, you know, fund, which is already as a reserve. It has been decided to, you know, a portion, because as you go towards the end of the year and at any point of time, you have to take a conscious call towards adjustment of that fund for future appropriation. And that amount, there was some terminal bonus payments which are required, which is generally revenue expense for us. But now we have to provide for that on annual basis. So that certain utilization of FF has happened. That's why it is looking like a deficit. Otherwise, and because we have provided adequately and appropriately for that purpose, that's why it is looking a deficit. If that would not have been considered, it would have been revenue surplus. But on consolidated level for the entity, there is a you know, significant surplus in the financials also. As far as solvency figures are concerned, you would appreciate the fact that today whatever is the LIC solvency about 1.89 is the highest ever which has been shown by us. And in fact, it has been continuously improving post-listing. Though our target solvency is only 1.6, as against it has become, you know, 1.89, which, you know, 2-3 years back used to be at 1.65 to 1.7 levels only. So it does not affect our dividend paying capacity for sure, because you would in fact see the way the shareholder fund has almost become 45,000 crores plus today. That is a testimony, and the amount of PAT which is getting transferred, the 9,500 plus figures which are there. So all that demonstrates huge capacity, but only thing is that how the dividend is going to be distributed is a call which board has to take and has to take all the time, depending upon what is the best utilization of funds for the insurer. For LIC, what is the best utilization of funds becomes important. Whether dividend distribution helps that, or whether, you know, maintaining that fund for the purpose of capital support for growth of business, that's a call to be taken. In fact, the dividend you would have seen last year has been doubled as compared to the previous year. Going forward, board would continue to take the best utilization strategy towards distribution dividend from the shareholder fund, which is continuously growing and can always be expected to grow in that manner.
And sir, a quick follow-up, additional question. Your employee wage expense has seen a sort of a material decline. So is it sort of reduction in regular expenses or some kind of changes to actuarial assumption or pension provision?
You're talking about employee-related costs, right?
Yes, sir.
See, there also what has happened, you know, there is a wage revision which happens for the employees on a periodical basis, 4 to 5 years every time. Last time, as a prudent step, board decided that whatever be the provisioning required for those employee-related costs should be provided one time. In the past, we used to amortize that cost over a period of 4 to 5 years because they pertain to that year. But a very prudent approach was taken by the board and the management that, you know, we have to provide for it upfront. So that cost is not expected to be recurring. That was like a one-time expense which was there, periodic expense. So therefore, such provisions are not required in the current quarter. That will lead to, you know, better OPEX as compared to the previous.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So I'll start off with my first question on the margin side. I know you have discussed this, but just wanted to understand that, you know, the individual business margin which has declined, is it only due to giving better yields or pricing to customers? Or is there an element of, you know, higher investment in manpower and technology also here which is driving down the margins?
Actually not the technology aspect. Technology aspect should lead to cost efficiencies only. This is largely, as we said, actually the business volume and shift towards non-participating business has been the largest contributor to the margin. The only fact that, you know, there is a slight decline in the volume, which is largely on the par side. In non-par side, actually the growth is robust, around 21% plus. So that has contributed. Plus, as I explained earlier also, another factor which has contributed is the economic assumptions or economic factors, interest rate, which have to be factored in when we do the discounting rates which are taken, because that has significantly changed as compared to the previous time. So that has been. Otherwise, from the insurance parameters, there is a positive contribution which has come.
Got it. Just to follow up here, so you are expanding, you know, away from agency into other channels, like banca, which typically require greater investment in manpower initially at least. So do you see the manpower investment to go up, and that could, result in your margin expansion being lower than, you know, what typically would come out of a better product mix?
So what we are looking into is, you know, one, not manpower expenses to increase, but what we are looking towards is manpower better allocation, to make it efficient utilization of the resources. As far as technology is concerned, yes. LIC is, in fact, chairperson will also explain it at some stage here, that, you know, this LIC is taking huge steps towards digital reforming, whether it is at the onboarding stage or for the overall, you know, business management. So a lot of, you know, efforts are being done. There would be some cost on that for sure, because the expenses have to be incurred for that purposes. But we expect that in long term to actually deliver better value in terms of you know, margins as well as the profitability, the way we conduct business. It will change and should ultimately lead to higher profitability and, you know, better volumes to come from us and seamless services to be provided. Integrated approach for that is to be taken. So this in the long term, the benefits of that will outweigh the expenses which will go into it.
Got it. Thank you. And finally, two questions. So one, on the VNB walk, there is a 200 basis point improvement due to, you know, impact of assumptions. Just wanted to understand, could you give us a breakdown between what is from persistency, mortality experience, and cost efficiency?
Yeah, actually the total on impact of various, you know, parameters of that, whether it's withdrawal, expenses, mortality, or, you know, terminal bonuses, largely all have contributed. Or none of them has at least, you know, contributed negatively, but very small amounts, because the total component would be something around 2% or so, not more than that, to the margin. The largest contributor is, you know, improving mortality experience for us. That is one of the, you know, good aspects, and also slightly improving persistency has also contributed to it.
Got it. And last question from my side. So there is a provision release for diminution of investments, and this has been a recurring item in the last few quarters in the P&L. Just wanted to understand, you know, I understand this is related to NPAs, and, you know, but how much further unwind of this provision remains? You know, will this continue in the coming quarters, or has this been done, completed now?
The provisioning for, you know, NPAs as a requirement is governed by the provisions circulars in this regard. In fact, there is certain provisioning which is required even for the standard assets also under that thing. So we expect it to be, you know, in that range only.
But you are releasing provisions here. So just wanted to understand that, you know, whether this
that release would happen, you know, whenever you have, you know, made recoveries from NPAs which have been provided. In fact, LIC has done a lot of steps in that direction. Certain, you know, assets which were NPAs, you know, recoveries have been effected. So when that gets effected, these provisions will get released. That's a contributor to it. So as, you know, those NPAs which have been provided for in the past, as the recoveries start to happen for them, this gets released.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Sir, I have two industry-level questions. One is on your presentation. I saw that women buying policies are going up. So, is that a trend which you're seeing recently? That's one. And two, incrementally, if women are buying more policies, will our profitability improve, particularly on the mortality side, because longevity of women are higher, and assuming you are pricing the product similar to what you are pricing it for men. So those are the two questions on women buying policies.
You see, if we consciously focus on all segments, and recent times there has been growth almost 35-36% last quarter share of policy is from women segment. And if you see even our agency composition also, we have large number of women agents also. So they obviously they cater to need of insurance from this segment. And consciously we will focus on this segment. In coming days you will find there will be more activity to target this segment because we feel under penetration in this segment is there, insurance very less.
Got it, sir. And I'm assuming your share of business from women will be much more higher than the private industry, right?
Yeah, it's about 34-35%
because we cater to large, entire India we cater, and rural area, all those, even a small health group people, they also take insurance as per their affordability. So we cater to every segment. So that helps us in growth in this women segment.
Is the policy more profitable for women?
Because you see, there is no distinction. If you see the premium, policy premium, it is same for male and female. Is there any distinction you have found for women less premium or for male? It is not like that. They can buy any policy as per the underwriting standard.
Okay. My next question, sir, is on term. You mentioned that the pricings were changed last year and it has normalized. And now across board, like the previous participant also asked, the industry is focusing on term and there are people moving into tier 2, tier 3 as well. So my question is, do you expect reinsurers again coming up or are you sensing anything of that sort in the near term to come up with another round of price hikes given that we're moving to tier 2, tier 3 and competitive intensity, etc. will rise and mortality assumptions also change.
When we talk about pricing and experience, one thing we would need to appreciate that even in the insurance arrangement, every insurance entity will have a different, you know, sort of understanding and, you know, expectation of insurance based on how they underwrite. LIC continues to command the confidence of our, you know, people who provide the insurance to us. Of course, this has been a challenging area, but whichever, you know, term products or protection side we have been able to demonstrate our underwriting capacities to them and secure reasonably good insurance support for them. We don't find that as a huge challenge. Of course, it is. It has been an issue of consideration in the past, but we'll continue to develop. That's the reason it has to be ensured that, you know, whichever term products come, they make fair sense to the customers, to the buyers, as well as to the entity, because nobody can afford to sell them as long as, you know, the product is value proposition for the customer. It should not be a loss-making for the insurers also. That's the reason of insurance rates being revised. Currently, we are comfortable at the rates at which we are, but we continue to monitor them on a very, very dynamic basis. And we'll take a call if it is required. Currently, we are aware. That's the reason we have recently seen, you know, in July itself, we have launched a product which is heavy on the, you know, protection side, though it provides for return of premium also. And it's a fairly competitive product which we have offered.
This ROP, sir, you have launched across the country?
Yes.
Okay. That's it for me, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you for the answers.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, sir. Two, three questions.
Sir, your voice is
a little louder.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah, hi. So just two or three questions. First, you know, if you can give some color on, you know, your individual product level margins on annuity and other non-par. Has there been any compression or repricing of these products on a quarter-on-quarter or maybe going into second quarter also? If you can give some color on what is the predominant channel which is pushing your non-par? I mean, your agency contributes 95% of your individual NBP, but specifically on, let's say, annuities or non-par, is there any differentiation on the channel side? And lastly, your product pipeline going into the next 9 months.
Yeah, as far as, you know, the repricing of the annuity products is concerned, yes, we did reprice those products around 2 times. All the different versions of it we have repriced. Currently, we are at the level at which the rates were there in March. We continue to monitor them continuously, but we are fairly comfortable at this point of time. LIC has taken very conscious and calibrated sustainable view about repricing. We have repriced them, of course, to let the products remain competitive, but we have not tried to, you know, make it them cutthroat, because we have seen a lot of revisions from many entities, downward revisions in the first quarter. But the level at which we had set our annuity rates were not based on for a call for a quarter, but on a long-term sustainable basis. And therefore, that's the reason we have ensured to remain where we were at the March levels of annuity rates today also. What was the other part of your question?
The second was on your channel mix for the non-par segment.
Yeah, channel mix, you know, our energy channel is the most dominant channel. We continue to expect because by nature it is, now within non-car also then we have to be very clear that, you know, there are different, lines of businesses and the strategies around them would be different. For example, non-car savings, we would continue to expect banker channel as well as the conventional channel. Also, we are pushing for the brokers and other IMFs also to get, you know, into it. But protection business, we would also like to, you know, see larger participation coming from a direct channel and, you know, online marketing through that also would be contributor for that. So we'll take within non-par also the call depending upon the specific product category.
Sure, but would you say that, you know, for non-par also 95% of NBP comes from, or 90% plus NBP comes from agency? I mean, non-par savings?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Just two small questions. One, your product pipeline for the next 9 months. And second, has there been any incremental discussion with any PSU or private bank to expand their bank assurance partnership? Maybe some of them willing to open up their closed architecture, or some of them willing to, you know, expand from three partners to four or something like that. Any new partnerships that we can expect over the next 1 year or so?
Good morning. I'm Sudhakar, CMO. In the first quarter, two new banks have tied up with us, J&K Bank as well as Saraswat Urban Cooperative, 9 brokers, 1 corporate agent and 21 IMFs. We have added some personnel also to the department to reach out to all the banks. Yes, other discussions are also ongoing, and we have also seen that the offtake from the CSE channel also has improved, and the overall banca percentage to the business in the first quarter is 3.22, which is 66 BPS higher than the earlier quarter, last year's quarter. So, and banca is growing on all parameters. Banca AP is also growing. So we are prevailing and pushing in that direction.
As far as your first question, part of the question was on the product side, in the current quarter, we have launched two products. One is a single premium closed-ended product, which is doing fairly well. And also recently we launched, as I explained earlier, this return of premium Jeevan Bima policy. Besides that, we have also repriced our, you know, one of the health products, cancer, cover product also has been repriced. Future pipeline is strong, and we are working on various in fact, there's a group product also which has been launched, which is medical retirement scheme. Most medical retirement scheme has also been launched for the group. We are looking into reviewing, modifying and revising our group insurance product to make them more, buyer friendly in the sense, creating value in terms of every single aspect in them. Besides that, we are working on various I would only at this point of time can suggest that innovative designs to fill in the product gaps, come out with propositions which are a win-win situation for all the stakeholders, policyholders, the intermediaries, as well as from the shareholder point of view. So we are working on various products during this year as they will unroll you'll see in the coming quarter.
Sure, thank you. If I just chip in one small question, so we saw the composite license preliminary guidelines in December, but post that, the discussion has been a little soft either from the, ministry or from the regulator. So can you give some color on, how the incremental discussion is shaping up on that side of things and your preparedness or your strategies in case composite license were to be allowed?
That we'll examine at appropriate time. Our board will take a call depending upon various factors. Not that we'll simply jump into anything. We'll calculate the cost benefit and how that will create value for all our stakeholders. So we'll take a conscious decision at appropriate time.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. First question is on the new regulation on the expense of management. How do you see that kind of impacting your numbers and with regards to future trajectory of your reporting structure? Are there any changes there?
This is Sudhakar again. On the expenses of management, whenever the new products are being launched, we are taking calibrated decisions to how the commission structure should be. And as far as the other, although the limits have been increased, we are taking calibrated and cautious approach because we cannot be driving up the overall cost just like that. So we are taking targeted approach in the sense that either on line of business or product-wise when it comes to rewards and campaigns for the salespeople. On that basis, we are taking from period to period certain steps so that the sale can be improved, and that is what has resulted in the overall growth of the non-par side, as you can see from the figures also. So that has been our approach on the overall approach from the marketing side when it comes to being within the expense of management, when it comes to commissions and reward and remuneration.
Okay. So the another question was on, you know, if you talk to any of the private companies, now they are looking at, especially after the 5 lakh rupee impact, they are looking to expand their presence in the lower tier cities. Do you see a need to kind of, you know, reward the agents or your distribution channel more to kind of ensure that the strength of LIC, which was in the lower tier cities, one of the strengths of LIC, which was in the lower tier cities, does not get impacted?
LIC is already very much in the lower tier cities, and a large chunk of our business does come from the lower tier cities. Whenever we are coming out with various campaigns, it happens at different levels also, not only at the central level, but at our different zones as well as divisions, which are having their own areas of operation. There is a freedom given for them also to decide on certain incentivization at their local level. So in this manner, we are able to approach that subject which we have just broached.
Sir, what has been the trend change in the 5 lakh rupee plus ticket size for you, say compared to last year, Q1 FY23, how has been the mix impact?
Actually, it will have a very minimal impact. You see, because LIC, we cater to all segments across. So this 5 lakh impact will be very, very minimal on LIC.
Okay. And my last question is on the protection business. It will be primarily driven by your direct channel, or which channels are you really focusing on? Because generally, agency channel is kind of, you know, stays away from selling a lot of pure term business. So how do you see ramping up this protection business in the in the medium term, with channels, and whether you would have a higher incentive structure, or what kind of strategies you would use there?
It will be actually driven by all the channels. If you see, as earlier told, recently we have launched a product, Jeevan Kiran product, which is the ROP, return of premium. That will get traction amongst the agents also, because so popular, very good product. So agents will also sell. But having said that, we are also focusing on our digital marketing so that the customers can directly take the term products. And in coming days, you will find a lot of focus will be on digital marketing, because already I have told, this year we are taking a huge project, total digital transformation project for LIC. Already process has started, we have floated RFP, and another thing is the customer onboarding through digital mode. So it is both for agency assisted model as well as banker, as well as direct or digital marketing. So once these are in place, and I am expecting by third quarter end, it will be in place, customer onboarding, so that we can get all particularly the term products directly through direct mode, digital mode.
Okay. Okay, okay. Got that. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one question. I just wanted to understand in terms of the persistency increase that we saw, which product line, you know, is driving the persistency increase, whether it's PAR, non-PAR or ULIP. If you can provide some color on that, it would be very helpful.
Actually, we have taken an overall call on the entire product basket and we continue to take it. Both in the participating segment as well as non-participating segments, you know, we have taken call and revised the features, somewhere withdrawn the products, somewhere modified the products. So this contribution is expected to is coming. In fact, some of the most selling products we are revised despite of the fact they were most selling. That's why somewhere, you know, can see the impact on the volumes could be seen. But the impact of better persistency and profitability would also be seen in the coming quarters coming from them. So it is across PAR, non-PAR, both the segments.
All right. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prithvi Raj Saya from Agam Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just wanted to ask from a simple investor's perspective. We know that your valuations, you know, on a basis of embedded value multiple, they are lower compared to the private sector. And we know the reasons, right? Product mix from the legacy business and as well as the distribution. In the medium term, how do you see this valuation story to change, to expect it to change, and if so, how do you envision this from a, you know, investor's perspective?
Well, to say that we understand, I'm not sure why this valuation is so low, but we'll not comment upon that. Our job is to continue to work in the areas that we can work upon. We have seen even these valuations have been corrected even for the many entities from the levels from which they started. So we'll not get into that thing. We'll focus on the areas where we can work upon. But as far as LIC's efforts and the outcomes of those efforts are there, we are confident that the investors would continue to see better delivery in terms of whether, you know, these important criteria, whether it is embedded value growth, whether it is margins improving, the business mix changing, or the VNB per se. All these profitability parameters and as well as the market share growing, at least maintaining at the level from where we are there. They remain the area of continuous focus, and our customers remain the point of our confidence, and we will continue to ensure that all those things are delivered. The business model remains robust despite of it being there for more than 6 decades. It continuing to command the market share is a very important aspect of it. And we expect sooner than later the valuations also to correct accordingly.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you. On a separate line, on the annuity business, can you give a breakup of the group versus individual or the NPS contributions to the annuity business and the outlook?
We will not be culling out the figures, but as far as annuity business on the individual side is much higher. In fact, I would say the contribution of annuity business, rather group, and should be equivalent, you know, in fact, not much different from each other by AP terms. So both are contributing effectively, but the composition, the mix of the type of nature of annuities which are sold could be slightly different between group and individual side.
Okay, fine. Thank you. And if I may, can I know qualitatively or quantitatively the credit life mix in the overall group protection? I don't know whether you provide that.
Currently that's not a very significant part of our, you know, protection business in the group side. But we do offer products. We are working around, you know, those product designs which are currently available. Fine-tune them further in line with, you know, specific niche requirements. And going forward, we expect, you know, the contribution to come from there. So that's the area of, you know, opportunity for us as of now.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of our 1-hour slot for the call. But We will take one more question, which is from the line of Udit Malhotra from DW LLC. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on the dividend policies and also any plans to on the share price, because I think there has been a gradual reduction over the past 1 year. So will we look forward to a dividend increase over the coming years?
I think on that aspect, the direction is clear. When the board decided to, increase the dividend by 100% from 1.5 to 3 in the March, and with the, PAT growing significantly, one should expect positive outcomes there. But as we maintained earlier also, it is a fair balance of what is the best utilization of capital, whether the dividend distribution is the best utilization. We would believe that a proper mix of the two would be the criteria on that thing. As far as share price, you are there, would not like to much comment and leave it to the markets to decide. But one can see within the last few months what has been the upside into it. And our job as an insurer is to continue to deliver on the areas in which we can, work upon. And we expect market, to take cognizance of that, and it will get reflected in the direction in which it has shown for the last, few months. We expect that trajectory to continue.
Mr. Malhotra, sir, the participant has left the queue.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you everyone for engaging with LIC through this call. We value your participation and we reaffirm our commitment to create superior value for all our stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.